And now it's time for Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. For the next 2 hours, join Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, Corey Sandin, and this week's special expert guest for fishing information, new techniques to catch more fish, and the most current scoop on what's happening in the water. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Royal Polaris, the world's finest long-range sports fisher. By Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup, and Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Get ready for the fastest 2 hours on radio with the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome to Let's Talk Hookup, man. We have a great show for you today. Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star is here. It's Corey and myself having a lot of fun today talking fishing. We're going to be talking to you. You stay tuned. You're listening to Southern California's Sport Fishing Voice. This is Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Hi, this is Doug Kern. Our hard-working crew will make sure your fishing experience is one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day open party trips on the spacious and comfortable Liberty. Since we introduced the full-day trips at Fisherman's Landing, the 85-foot Liberty has become a favorite among full-day operations with bunks for your comfort, huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Plus, Liberty has a big modern galley and 2 interior heads with showers. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can easily be booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
This is Bob Hoos at Costa Sunglasses. Visual signs are a critical part of my fishing program, from bay bass to bluefin. I wear Costas to see what's out there. Costas are built with advanced polarization technology with our 580 lens, designed to cut through the sun's glare while providing enhanced color to see more fish. Costa was founded by a group of anglers wanting a high-performance lens for every fishing application. Costa has a West Coast-style frame and lens for your adventures. CostaSunglasses.com.
Want to take your catch from fresh to superior grade? This is Robbie Gant from AFCO. We developed the tools for the EKGMA process. Circuit Breaker is specially designed to disable the full length of the fish's spinal cord. The memory-resistant wire of AFCO's Circuit Breaker will not bend or kink, even after repeated use. Take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Available at a dealer near you or check out AFCO.com.
Like Robbie said, take your fish care to the next level with Circuit Breaker by AFCO. Check AFCO.com or your favorite tackle retailer.
All right.
Welcome.
Yeah, good morning. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And always having so much fun when Tim's in studio. And
well, no doubt. Yeah. And so much fun stuff to cover. And, you know, I mean, we were just joking. We heard that spot from AFCO, them talking about all the fish care, you know, stuff that AFCO now is a part of.
The Circuit Breaker.
And, and Tim looks like, Circuit Breaker? I'm like, well, yeah, that's the EKGMA wire. It's like, well, I know that that's a thing and that's a technique, but really for us, that's a Royal Star thing, you know. And I know that it has migrated and lots of people use the fish care, but like, you guys are what brought that to us. And, you know, it's very cool to see there's so much emphasis on putting down a killer product that now, you know, commercially available for a private guy. You know, there's a line of products just dedicated to fish care.
Yeah, you know,
Pretty cool.
I sit here and think about it, and I know we've talked about it before, but for me, undoubtedly, of all the, what is this, I'm 35 some odd years into this, and we've been part of a lot. I mean, our generation, and I say myself, Randy, Brian, Kiyohara, you know, just that group as we came up through long range, we've innovated and advanced sport fishing, long range fishing in so many ways just by having a perspective that's way more consistent with focusing on, again, the quality, focusing on taking quality fish as opposed to quantity of fish. And it goes on and on. But the fish, the focusing on the premium quality, the introducing the RSW, the premium quality handling, you know, those standards now, to see that has emanated throughout the entire sport fishing industry, you know, the appreciation of the value of every single fish you're taking. We've talked about it again, but, you know, you're going out there, and the vast majority of us now, it's not just about going out there and clobbering fish, and, you know, club over the head and blood. It's a harvest.
Yeah, totally.
It's a harvest, and to appreciate the fact that you're going out there and, you know, number one, you're taking this creature, but you're now treating it with the respect that it deserves, that it commands. That for me, you guys, talk about the legacy. I mean, yeah. You know.
I hope it makes you proud, because it should.
It makes me incredibly proud. Of all the contributions, that is the number one. I mean, totally. You know, when I'm dead and gone, hopefully my headstone will say, you know, RSW and Freeman. Because I'm serious, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
totally.
Tim, even the half day boat.
Exactly. You know?
Tim, that's what I was going to say. It has gone all the way to the half day, three quarter day, full day, and up and down the coast.
And now the private boats.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, even like, what? And we can say, there's no doubt about it, it started right here. It started on Royal Star. It started in 2003 in Panama, and now it's gone to, you know, far and wide. I just beam when I think about it. And I don't beam because, oh, I want the credit for it. I beam because, again, it's the fact that it's this broad acknowledgement that the product is so incredible, that you know, the opportunity to harvest this product is so unique. And now to actually appreciate it in the form of taking care of it and, you know, understanding the value of it as it goes on the table, as you share it with your friends.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
I mean, think about it.
And you can't get it. Like, you cannot obtain or
that quality.
Or very difficult to obtain a quality of fish that, you know, like that comes out of the hatch of the Royal Star. Like, to get that, if you're not catching it on a boat that's providing like that, it's almost impossible to get your hands on product that's that good.
Right, and if you want to, I mean, you're going to pay through the nose for it.
No doubt.
Go down to the shelf there at Point Loma Seafoods or over here at, you know,
Tunaville. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're talking $28, $30, $35 a pound for sashimi grade, you know, ahi, mm-hmm. whether it's bluefin, yellowfin, whatever. It's, again, I mean, for everybody to be out there now acknowledging that and appreciating it, I was laughing thinking about the bluefin tuna. What was their it was an East Coast title, but it was back in the early 1900s. They were called horse mackerel. I mean,
really?
They were horse mackerel. They threw them in the garbage. They were junk. They wound up in the garbage bin.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So to see it evolve from that to where we are today, that, you know, everybody going out on their skiffs now, and they've got what's the AFCO thing?
Oh, the
circuit breaker.
The circuit breaker.
Right, but you've created.
Yeah, hail the circuit breaker. I mean, we just got a piece of 49 strand wire, and then we solder the end of it, so it'll go in that where you pull the spike out. If you do it right, which, you know, 9 times out of 10, needless to say, we've done it a few times, so we've got it down. You spike it, you pull that spike out, you can fish that thing right in
the same hole. Yes, you can, and Diego can, and everybody else on your crew can, and Randy can, and Brian can, and Alex can. Dude, you guys make that look so easy. And let me tell you, when you're on your skiff fumbling around and the spike didn't land in the right spot, and you're trying to fish that thing down, not quite as easy as the professionalism of the guys that do it 2,000. And I pride myself on the way we take care of our fish, and like, this is not the first bluefin I've seen. And like, man, you want to talk about making it look effortless how you guys handle a fish. Like, I guess you're right. I guess thousands of times of repetition make it that way, but it is not always as easy as you guys make it look.
Once in a while, we'll get one that, you know, if it gets gaffed in the head, it'll crush that neural canal. And the other thing is, if you go straight down, like
I think that's the biggest problem that people have.
Yeah, straight down, it's got to be angled. At like not quite a 45, maybe a 60-degree angle right above the eyes in that soft spot. You go in there, it's, you know, again, 9 times out of 10, it goes in there like butter. Sometimes you got to fish around. But we if you get one that's just impossible, and I actually got tipped off to it when we were again down there in that port in Panama, and watching all the fish that were coming off the commercial boats. Every one of them, I call it scalping them. You know, you go like right above the eyes, cut down
that wedge out.
Yeah, cut the wedge, and there it is. It's like plain and center. There's that neural canal, and you just fish a wire straight down. But those guys, all of their fish, when they come, they use a piece of discarded long line.
And super heavy gauge mono.
Yeah, huge, like, you know, whatever it is, 800-pound test. Mm-hmm. So they'd make that little cut and push the thing in, and then they'd leave it in there so the buyer
knows that it was done. Smart.
Interesting.
So the way APCO, you know, they, like, again, theirs is, you know, commercially available for, like, the CF guy. Again, it's different for you guys because they're not having to handle the fish, move it around, but they promote a lot of it in going from the opposite direction from the tail. Like they like to take like a 3/4 cut down. So the skin flap is still attached, but you're exposing the spinal column and that neural canal.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is you can fold the tail back and you can physically see it. You know, spinal cord runs and then you can see the canal right on top of it. So it just gives you an easier target to go from the back going forward.
Right.
But again, doesn't make as much sense when you're having to move fish around. But if you're one guy on a private boat and you've got two fish, you know, you keep in a perfect scenario, you keep the skin attached.
Yeah, it's the same thing, you know, going whatever, forward to back, back to forward.
Yeah.
I got sidetracked there thinking about whatever.
I'm so bad at this. I'm the worst with Tim here. Like, I go off on tangent. We haven't even talked about the fish under the boat or anything. Right? Yeah. I mean, I like it. I just really enjoy when you're on because it's really fun stuff to get to talk about.
And I'm, you know, we kind of get in the weeds here because if somebody doesn't know what we're talking about, it's pretty foreign,
yeah.
But I mean, don't you just love that when you run that you spike the
watch
fish
it happen.
And you run that cord down the spine, and you just watch every little finlet just jump as it, and they turn like ice blue or they'll get speckled. It's like
what does that actually do to?
We're gonna have hopefully a fish expert will come in, but as it's been described to me, you know, it
relaxes.
It arrests the decomposition process. Mm-hmm. So it all the nerves and the nerves that are firing along the spinal column going into the meat, making the meat twitch, and it's dumping lactic acid. It arrests that. So
it just puts it to a complete end.
Yeah, 100%. So there's no more lactic acid getting dumped into the meat and it preserves the quality of the fish, you know, as is.
From minute one.
From the second you do it. Because even if you just spike it, okay, now you knocked it down, but there's still nerves firing all in the spine. I mean, if you took, for example, if you had a fish laying there, I'm going to get too gory, but, you know, you catch it, you put a spike in its head, and then if you took a knife and stuck it in the somewhere along the, you know, the loin, whatever, and put your finger in there, you'd feel all the, you know, you went in like 2 inches. You feel the muscle contracting and twitching. Whereas if you run that cord down the spine, it's
no more
completely knocked out.
No more.
It's all relaxed.
Yeah.
And you know, are you going to notice the quality of the difference in the quality if you throw a steak of bluefin on the grill?
You probably not.
You probably won't because you're not you're not a connoisseur, you know, bon vivant. I probably won't either. But
sashimi.
Sashimi, yeah. I mean, it's a texture thing. It makes such a difference. You know, if you don't do it, it's not like the fish is ruined. It's still premium, you know, excellent quality, fantastic. But when you use that Taniguchi method and knock it down, I mean, it just melts in your mouth. There's a texture thing.
The other thing that it does, which, you know, again, we got a little more buffed on that when AFCO came. They did a bunch of exactly that on that Taniguchi method. It's like it's all the steps of fish care, and it's all the things combined. It's not the one thing. It's getting all the blood out of the fish, and it's getting the fish spiked right away, and it's getting the fish killed right away, and it's doing the spike. Like, but the other thing that it does is crazy increase the shelf life that product is good before freezing it, you know, and you know, where at before, if you cut the gill and you threw it in the cooler, you know, maybe it's good in the fridge to eat for a day or two. Like, this will really extend the shelf life before it quote unquote turns or goes bad before freezing.
I like it.
Yeah. I mean, win, win, win.
Yeah, totally.
You know, what's crazy. I mean, all this being mentioned is how did we do it any different before? I mean, it's kind of crazy to think.
Yeah, I mean, look, man, I'll probably get in trouble for it, but, you know, Tarzan used to wield a club and drag Jane around by the hair. You know, I mean, look at where we are now. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing. We were cavemen. It just didn't.
But it's just the way it was done,
yeah,
right?
I mean, didn't know any better. You know, it's just you go into something and you do it the way it was done because it was done that
that's
way.
That's what you did.
You know, I mean, the old timer said, hey, this is the way we do it, and that's the way we did it. And then, you know, you start thinking a little more, and as you evolve, and really what it takes, and this is true for anything, when you strike out on your own, which we did on Royal Star, you know, got our own business, got our boat. You know, when you strike out on your own, then you start implementing your ideas, your vision, you know, and you have the opportunity to do so because you don't have anybody telling you, no, don't do it that way. Or, no, you know, this is the way we've done it. You know, you can do it exactly how you see fit.
You said something a couple times in this conversation, and it was the respect for the harvest. And that really resonates with me because it truly is. I mean, you're going out, you're harvesting an 80 to 180-pound fish, and it's just giving it respect.
You guys probably, and our listeners would probably be surprised to know, you know, something about me, like personally. I'm a stone cold killer. You know, I mean, I've killed fish my whole life, and that's, you know, but I don't take pleasure in the kill. It's not the killing part of it that drives me. You know, I mean, again, it's the harvest, and I have a profound respect for every single. You know, I feel that as an angler, as a sportsman, as an individual, you have a responsibility to appreciate whatever it is that you're taking. You know what I mean? Regardless of whether, you know, whatever it is, it's a, you know, it's an elk, it's a deer, nice. It's a, you know, it's a tuna, it's a whatever. I mean, you're taking something, you're ending something's life, and as you're in. You end that thing's life, you have a responsibility.
Yeah, you better be using it.
Yeah, you have a responsibility to appreciate it, to revere in the fact that, you know, the earth was good enough to give you that thing and provide nutrition for you. You know, I probably have the old, you know, like the old natives' respect for the creature itself. And, you know, I really do. I feel like we have as somebody who runs a boat, as somebody who now is you know, has a pretty large fingerprint on the evolution of this fishery. I hope to convey that to every single angler. It goes back to what I was saying and the pride that I have in the fact that now that has been, I mean, it's commercialized in our industry, in our fishery. You know what I mean? Everybody is of that mindset now, or the vast majority of people are, as opposed to where we were, again, 35, 40 years ago, where it was just the size of the pile.
How many cases of cans am I going to get when this is all said and done?
Exactly. There was just no real, you know, it was just meat coming in and meat going out. And now it's not, clearly.
But your idealism and your thought process is why the Royal Star is so busy. I mean, why you carry so many passengers and people that follow you and Randy and the group there that have that same philosophy, really.
We were just talking about that, the fact that, you know, and everybody, I'm not critical of any of you know, the other vessels out there and how they go, but every boat has its own culture. Every boat, you know, they
totally.
The crew,
how we like to do our things.
And I have, it's so refreshing that, you know, we've seen the last, I mean, obviously the last 20 years, it's almost 20 years since we introduced the RSW.
Right.
No, it is, because it's 2020. And in 2003, when we were in Panama, is when we started doing that holding fish in refrigerated seawater. So it's 20 years this year, if you can believe that. So there's been a long period of evolution, but it's especially the last 5 or 6 years. The vast majority of anglers that come fishing on Royal Star, and you guys know we're hardcore. We go at it. You know, like it's
like no one else. Yeah.
Yeah. But there are so many times when, let's say a limit of bluefin, you know, 24 people. I mean, you can catch a lot of those things. You know what I mean? You catch, you know, north of 120, 150, you know, you catch a lot of them. Most of our anglers, they would not keep that many of those bluefin if you held them down and you know, and force them to. I mean, you go out there, and the limit is 6, but if an angler goes out there, let's say they're on a 7-day, they're on a 3-day, whatever, and they have a successful night, you know, they catch 300-pounders. Most of our anglers are like, dude, I'm good, man. Like, I got enough of these. Let's go. Hey, can we grind some yellowtail? I mean,
what your cod spots look like around this zone.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're good. So, you know, my point is, obviously, it doesn't take limits to make a successful trip. It doesn't, you know, and the anglers are the ones I see now who
are pushing
that. And they self-regulate. They do. The number of, you know how many times we've come in with actual limits in the last couple of years? I mean, I can count them on one hand. And not because we couldn't catch them, because our anglers didn't want to catch that many. They didn't need that many. Nobody needs a single fish.
Tim, I think everything that you've talked about in the last 15 minutes, the respect and the harvest and taking care of it, an angler has three 100-pound fish, and those have been treated to the utmost respect level, right? And they're taking home a huge amount of the highest quality they can get, right? So what do you do with, at the end of that being said, I mean, what do you...
It's difficult to deal with. That's a lot of fish.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a damn good harvest, right?
Yeah, you go out on a three-day trip and you come back with 100 fish. Like, so, you know, 300 pounds, the processing yield roughly 50%. I mean, you come home with 150 pounds of premium, beautiful-grade fish that, you know... Take it to Fisherman's Processing with the other processors, vacuum packed in 5 mil bags. I mean, that is a primo product for a year.
Yeah, you have to really get after it to get through that year. You've got to really get after it if you're going to go through that much.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of fish.
You're not lying.
You've got to be dedicated. Family is
fish. You better really like your California rolls and tuna sammy, boy, because you're going to go through it.
Kids, you know, what do we have? A tuna again?
It's a Tuesday, Thursday, or Saturday. Yeah, you're having tuna again.
And Sunday. Yeah. Hey, don't forget Sunday.
Oh, that sounds like good times for sure. Hey, we haven't even got into how good the fishing is, and man,
we will.
We are for sure. I know it's some incredible stuff going on, and man, if you want to join us, all this great conversation, having Tim Ekstrom in studio is super cool, and I promised I wouldn't let a show go by without you being on the show, Tim. Where I thank you and praise you for what you've done for the industry for sure, and you want to join us 213-432-1090. That's the number here, direct to the headquarters here at Let's Talk Hookup. Or you can text us via the app, only through the app. You can text us at the show. You'll have a message, a comment, maybe ride the boat. Want to have a comment for Tim or the crew there. When are you you're leaving today, Tim?
Yeah, boat's departing on a 7-day. Right now I see Captain Alex Nuttipadab on the bridge. The guys are... they're getting squared away right now.
See, this is an unfair thing for the crew, because from the world headquarters, you can perfectly see the Royal Star. So like, literally from Tim's microphone, he can say if the job's getting done or if the cell phone's in hand. Like, it is an unfair position to be a crew member right now.
Such good times here in the world headquarters. Again, if you want to join us, 213-432-1090 or text us via the app. We're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Are you passionate about fishing and the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopewich. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights are fishing in protected, calm waters. Very important. Quality Chinook salmon run all season long. After you've caught your salmon, we're going to go out with a great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sandspit, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to Sandspit. Fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. Give me a call on our toll-free number 1-877-815-2892 or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com. The lighter the bite and the cleaner the water means one thing. Need a thinner leader, more natural presentations. That's where Seaguar Gold Label leader material shines. It's Seaguar's thinnest leader material yet. That means it's even less visible underwater and creates more natural presentations for better catch rates on leader-shy fish. With exceptional knot and tensile strength, this advanced leader material is now available from 2-pound tests for fishing trout in the Sierra to 80-pound tests for big yellowfin in Guadalupe. Get Seaguar Gold Label at your favorite tackle dealer or learn more at Seaguar.com.
offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. This is saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. Shimano Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of load. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Didn't even mention we're giving away a full-day trip on the Liberty out of Fisherman's Landing. So one lucky caller, yeah, one lucky texter.
And speaking of Liberty, we had a lot of fun having the captain from the Fat Tuna, Bob Cook,
cool
in the studio last weekend. Very cool that the guys were out here promoting the Friends of Rollo event and the Tuna Wars captain. And a big congratulations to the Liberty, who took down the big win for the Tuna Wars event. Had just such a killer lineup of those big ones. I still can't get over, you know, they had a great shot of the back deck of the Liberty with guys holding all 100 to 150 pounders, you know, standing up. I mean, it literally did. It looked like a shot from the hurricane bank with all these guys holding these big giant tunas. And, man, congratulations.
Super cool.
I think it was the third time in a row Captain Taro and Evil have taken down the win for the big tuna wars. So congratulations to them and Bob and all the anglers. And, again, we say it in fun, but it really is the truth. Like, you know, congratulations to the guys that won and caught the big ones. But, really, the winner was just that – all of that money is going to send a bunch of kids out fishing, and what a cool promotion that was and is.
Rick, the whole event that Mike Lum and Tim and all the whole crew put together, it's just to see that money coming in for the Friends of Rollo and taking kids fishing. I have to give a shout out. There was a young lady that came down by the name of Marianne, but by the way, doesn't even fish.
Okay.
Listens to the show every weekend.
That's
religiously.
Right.
Marianne and her friend Martha came down, and she knew if she gave a little bit of money, she could send a kid fishing to get him off the electronics, to take him out fishing. And she came down just to donate her money.
That was at the captain's reception?
At the captain's reception.
Cool.
That was the most touching thing of the whole damn event.
That's right. Man,
pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What a fun event. And, you know, and again, congratulations to Liberty for that big tuna fishing. And how cool that this fishing is going. It's definitely been a little bit of a different year with some ebb and some flow, and you know not every voyage is guaranteed to see big ones, but the number of big fish that is available right now still just absolutely blows me away. That, you know, this was a 2-day trip, but well within one day, I mean, heck, within full day range even, to see that grade of fish available. It's never going to get old. It's so cool to see so many big ones at home, and there's some good fishing going on right now, Tim.
I could, you know, the quantity of this bluefin round, I'll go back about 2 or 3 weeks, even 4 weeks, where there really wasn't that much fish around. Like, when it would show, it was like one, you know, good zone, but it wasn't really all that much, you know, maybe a mile wide, you know, yeah. And we were kind of following that one spot of fish around, but you'd see little dabs of it all over the place. You know, driving around, you see on the fathometer, you see a little sonar, like all over.
Okay.
For like 40, 50 miles, you know, you just randomly see. And the old, I think we talked about it the last time I was on, you know, the old rule of thumb is when you're seeing scattered fish over a broad area, there's a lot of them around.
Okay. I mean,
you know, it's just that, it's the telltale sign.
Got it.
So last week, about 8, 9, 10 days ago now, we started seeing the sign that, you know, all that fish is around is starting to get together and come up. And this last round of trips, between the last 2-3 days that I ran out west, you know, it's comparable again to something last year where you literally cannot believe there could be that much fish in the ocean.
I love hearing that.
I'm telling you, like you going into these schools that are a half a mile long,
crazy,
a mile wide.
That's crazy.
And you get into the, like, you draw, okay, you're chasing it down. There it is. You know, sonar is absolutely full on 600 foot range. And you've got 30 fathoms of fish under the boat. And you're at the back end of it, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
So for a half a mile, mind you, a half mile, you're running down this thing and the sonar is completely jug full, and you have 30,000 fish under the boat the entire time.
Okay, so for a half mile from 180 feet worth of tuna.
Yeah, how much fish is that?
That's crazy.
I mean, like, how much fish
is
crazy?
How many is that in that school?
And then 3 miles behind you, there's another one just like that. And 4 miles inside of you, there's another one just like that. And 5 miles to the west of you, there's another one just like that. Like, how much fish is that?
Insane.
I don't know. Yesterday or 2 days ago, this stuff all came up a couple days ago. So we were fishing down south because the fish out west kind of petered out. And so we were fishing down south. Not very far. The fish kind of that we were on moved up there past just to the southwest of the Coronados. And then the afternoon, 2 days ago, all of a sudden, it was just like this giant float, right? These, again, enormous schools for 10 miles.
Crazy.
Just giant school after giant school, all, you know, running downwind, running to the south. I mean, again, how much fish is that? Thousands of tons. Thousands.
Just unreal. That's so cool.
Unbelievable. And where the hell did they come from? Four days ago, you know, you're driving around and seeing little dabs and this and that. All of a sudden, the entire ocean comes. And the other thing that's really encouraging now, all different size classes.
That is great.
So there's a school of 20 to 30 pounders. There's a school of 40 to 50 pounders. A school of 150 to 200s. Of 90 to 120s. It's all mixed up. There's really a lot of the small fish that started to show now, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is an indication that, you know, that's the new wave that's come over this year. And you've got all the different size classes that have accumulated. You know, the bottom line is there's a tremendous, tremendous quantity of bluefin. Availability is fantastic. And now, you know, we get into you start talking about bluefin. Well, it's nine times out of ten, it's not about finding bluefin. It's about finding ones that want to bite.
Oh, yeah, SOBs, man. God, Lord.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, so, you know, yesterday I talked about, and out west, I talked about all that vast quantity, you know, half mile long school, 1,000 tons of fish. You know, we caught, you know, we 12 all day long.
Thousands of tons.
Thousands.
So, I mean, and you caught 12 of them.
You swear to God, you'd snag one. Yeah. You just like put a grappling hook down there. It's just like, what are they doing under the boat? There's 40 fathoms of fish down there.
And how does an eating machine, like purpose built to do one thing, just swim and eat food, like how does it not, like, how does it not yawn and a sardine go in? Like,
how do they pass it up? It's like, why not? Just, you know, grab a bite as I'm going by. You know, all my buddies here. You know, there's thousands of my that's a win for me. Like, how don't they? I don't know.
And then other times when they do let their guard down and it's just they're rushing the boat and eating every single. Why'd you do it then? And why aren't you doing it now? Like,
I'm telling you.
But it's bluefins.
Yeah, and even more maddening is that we'll, you know, there'll be 15 or 20 of us on the fish, you know, spread out over a couple miles, and we're all hitting schools, and it's, you know, you hit one and it squirts off, it's gone. You hit one, they come under you. Maybe you hook one, you don't hook any. And then a half a mile away, right there, a guy hits, loading up. You know, 20 going. You know, it's just like, why that one?
Yeah, totally.
Why that one? Why at that, you know?
I'm not the offshore dude, as you know. Not an offshore guy, but you mentioned something. Like, you see spots are scattered out and in smaller groups. Are those more friendly? Like,
typically not.
They're not.
No, typically.
They don't want to bite.
Typically, you don't even waste your time with those ones.
Really?
And there's a lot to this. And you know, you figure out that, you know, there are certain signatures that you're just wasting your time. Don't even bother. You know, you really got to get into the thick of it to make it pay. Mm-hmm. That's the general rule of thumb.
Into the larger school.
Yeah. And like one of those big giant schools like that, if you run up into the middle of it and stop in the middle of it, or you stop on the back end, you know, here's, you know, I come up on it and, oh, my God, giant school, you ain't pulling back. Well, you're on the back end of that thing,
yeah,
man.
It's like the worst side of it all.
Keep right on going. Yeah. I mean, if you get down to the beginning of it, not only.
And casually meet them.
Casually meet them nice and easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't go 30 knots, you know, spin in circle. Yeah, just go nice and easy. You get down to the end of it. And You stop there. Number one, it seems like if you can get the you know, the vanguards out there or the forward line to notice you
and, gotta, and if they participate.
Exactly. Yeah. Then you've got that whole wave behind you that as they come
by. Oh, we're doing this? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, my bad.
Oh, it's time.
I didn't realize we're eating. All right, cool. That's pretty good. Well, as you can hear, man, I mean, such a great show. Such good fishing to talk about. And always so fun having Tim in here. No surprise, the phone lines are absolutely packed. Again, just like Corey said, if you want to get through and join us this morning, 213-432-1090. Or shoot us a text on that Let's Talk Hookup app. And, you know, again, like we said, make sure that you include your contact info when you're sending that text in. Because if you win that trip aboard the Liberty, we want to make sure to get it to you. And Corey, why don't we get it rolling? Get started on the phones.
Let's do it. How about Mike? Mike calling from Torrance. Good morning. Appreciate you joining us.
What's up, Mike? Yo, Mike. Looks like we might have lost Mike there. So how about we grab another, Corey?
How about John? John calling all the way from Texas. Good morning, John.
Maybe we got to settle a little issue out with our phones. Yeah. So while we're getting the phones going, we got a great text came through. So, good morning, everybody. Tim, I absolutely love fishing on the Royal Star, and I love long-range fishing for you. I know that the Royal Star, from time to time, uses puffer fish for bait. Can you explain what the puffer fish is, how you rig them for bait, and how you go about catching them? And that's got to be about the most unique bait that you catch a tuna fish with, because it doesn't look a whole lot like, when they're all puffed up, it looks nothing like other things that you catch fish with.
P. Diddy.
They also included a great photo, of a former crew member holding up a big, giant, inflated puffer fish. So,
I think that's the one I got to look at. If we put a picture, I think, on the website. I think it was.
I mean, there's no other photo. there's no other photo of Blake staring at a giant, fully engulfed giant puffer fish. It's a pretty classic photo.
So those ones, I know we were at Hurricane Bank. We were fishing them on the kite. So, you know, you present it on the kite. You want to talk about hilarious. So number one, they'll puff up. You know, you put them on the hook. You know, they puff up. And then you let them out there, and they deflate. And so you have them out there on the kite. You know, you sit and watch them on the surface. And the number of times I see it, all of a sudden, boom, boom,
they puff up. Oh, I'm sure. Like,
and boom, a fish. It's
wow. They're out there just swimming around, not really sure what's going on. And, you know, 200-pounders circling underneath, like it's like a balloon inflating.
They see, that's so rad. They see that tuna coming, or they're circling around. you can't help but feel bad for the poor guy. He's like, uh-oh.
Oh, my God.
This is going to get worse before it gets better.
Exactly. But though, between the kite presentation, we fly line them and sinkers at night. We've caught a lot of fish, sinkers at night. And we catch those puffers in the tropics. At times, they just swim up. They swim into the light. So, you know, the guys are going around with scoops and scooping them up, throwing them in the bait tank.
Is that because it's a better bait than other things, or just because it's available and when you're way out there, you use everything you can? Like, what about – it just seems like such an unlikely fish to you. I mean, we're talking – you know, some of these puffers look like it's out of a children's cartoon, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's so opposite the look of a sardine or a mackerel or
– Sure.
What brings that about?
Well, I'll tell you, the first catch that I know of that was made on those puffer fish, we were on Royal Polaris at Clipperton back in, like, 1986 or 7, 98, 88, somewhere. I mean, it was a long time ago. And – at that time, we only had sardines, or we had anchovies, so you had to catch Cabito on the way down, go by the islands, which we caught some, but it was slow fishing. We'd get to Clipperton, and at night, there's all these puffers around,
okay.
Tons of them. So, you know, we were scooping those and putting them on out of necessity, and, you know, just to extend our bait supply.
Yeah, sure.
Man, we started kicking the daylights out of fishing those things. I mean, like, every one was a bite.
No way.
We made an entire catch on puffer fish, on sinkers.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's crazy, right? Cool. I love stuff like
and
that.
It was out of necessity.
Totally.
You know, like, whatever, put it on. And ever since then, of course, it was like, you know, they eat these things, and whatever they're around, of course, we'll scoop them and put them on. We've had huge success. You know, at times, do they bite them every time? No, they don't. But in particular... Hurricane Bank,
okay,
and Clipperton for sure. Those are the two
that's
places
where they really like them.
Yeah, where they really hit. I'm sure they bite them wherever else because that's part of their natural diet.
Uh-huh.
When we, you know, we catch those fish, we dress all of them before we put them in the RSW. A lot of times we dress them. They're loaded with puffs.
So that's a very common thing to see them blow out of the stomach when you're cleaning them
very
out.
Very common.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like those little box fish or something like that. That's part of their natural forage when you're in those tropics.
When those fish are up here, what do you see them? Like, you know, the fish you're catching, you know, locally Clemente, what's the most common forage that you see in those ones?
The majority of the time, it's that little deep water stuff.
Okay.
You know, just various, you know.
Yeah.
What whatever it may be, you know, a little deep water fish, a little
small hake, and
yeah, a little lantern fish, yeah. Little, you know, I mean, if there's red mm-hmm. crab around, red crab, if you know, there is some fin bait, you know, you'll see the anchovies, the small anchovy sardines, but not that often.
Uh-huh.
You know, obviously when they're on foamers, you know, we see more of the fin bait in there. Surprisingly enough, we don't see, especially the bluefin, you really don't see them loaded, gorged with, mm-hmm. with food like you do sometimes yellowfin. I mean, some of those yellowfin, when they go into that bite mode, I mean, you can barely pull the stomach out of the body cavity. They're just loaded with whatever it is. Again, okay. The majority of the time it's deep water, you know, some part of that DSL or squid, of course,
uh-huh.
for sure. See plenty of squid, little guys, little squidlets. You know?
That's one thing that always trips me out is, you know, this fish so big, you know, your mind's like, oh, that thing's down there eating all these big fish. But it's so often trips me out how small of things, whether it be red crab or little teeny fin fish, you know, that this, you know, 150-pound fish is full of these little teeny things.
Yeah, well, I mean, they go down there in that you know, that deep scattering layer, you know, that, during the daytime doing that bounce diving thing. I mean, they just open their mouth. It's like a bucket, you know,
right.
Go through there. It's like a baleen whale.
Crazy.
They're just going through sucking that stuff down.
That's cool.
Hey, all this good talk. We're going to be right back, right? More Let's Talk Hookup, more from Tim Ekstrom. Enjoying all this talk. I have a couple questions for myself. When we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank Capresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, the service begins. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
This is Captain Art Taylor from Searcher Sport Fishing. Your hook is one of the most important links to catching fish. And at Searcher Sport Fishing, we use and recommend Gamagatsu hooks. The Gamagatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with a variety of sizes all the way down to size 4, Gamagatsu hooks are the ones to use. It's important to be prepared with the right tackle when you come aboard Searcher, so that should include Gamagatsu hooks.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-Second Seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet. Perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Safe travel should always include travel insurance. This is Bob Dawson at Dawson & Associates. We offer many different plans, from one-year plans to single-trip plans. Traveling twice or more a year, an annual plan will cover most every trip that you make. Also, if you get injured on a trip, it'll fly you back home or fly you to a hospital of your choice, and it's worldwide coverage once you're 100 miles from home. So call me at 619-990-3068 or go to safariglobaltravel.com.
Let's talk candidly about long-range fishing. This is Captain Frank Capresti of the Royal Polaris and the Shogun. Nowhere on earth will you find a fleet of long-range boats like we have in San Diego. We are fortunate to have several top-notch operations to take you to the most productive fishing grounds in the world. We all offer good food, comfortable staterooms, huge bait capacity, and top-of-the-line fish-finding electronics. So why would you choose the Royal Polaris or the Shogun for your next long-range trip? What sets us apart from the rest? It's pretty simple. The boats, the crew, and the service. From the moment you arrive at Fisherman's Landing, will service begin. We help you load your gear and do everything possible to get beginners or seasoned veterans ready to catch fish. When it's time to fish, the Royal Polaris and the Shogun have the edge there too, delivering the two best fishing platforms in the fleet. But don't take my word for it. Come fishing with us. If you want the best, it's Royal Polaris and the Shogun. For more information, call 619-226-8030 or on the web at royalpolarissportfishing.com or shogunsportfishing.com.
Safe travel should always include travel insurance. This is Bob Dawson at Dawson & Associates. We offer many different plans, from one-year plans to single-trip plans. Traveling twice or more a year, an annual plan will cover most every trip that you make. Also, if you get injured on a trip, it'll fly you back home or fly you to a hospital of your choice, and it's worldwide coverage once you're 100 miles from home. So call me at 619-990-3068 or go to safariglobaltravel.com.
All right. Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And a little minor technical difficulties, right? But, hey, that's part of a live radio show.
That's what we say, live radio,
right?
Man.
Exactly. So welcome back and all this great conversation with Tim. And hopefully we can get back to the callers as soon as possible. But plenty of text, right?
Yeah, it's exactly it. And while Christian is steadily making progress forward, getting the phones rolling back, we have a ton of great text messages to choose from. We're going to be taking a lot of those. Again, hang on in the phones. If you're on hold there, all the mics and John and Alex, Ed, you guys just keep hanging on there. We're certainly going to get to you as soon as we get up and rolling. But in the meantime, text the show is where it's at. And again, that's only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download, easy to find. Make sure you include your contact info, because somebody's going fishing on board the Liberty at the end of today's show, and it might be you as a lucky texter.
What a cool deal that is, right?
Yeah. Well, hey, a good text come through. We kind of started to talk about it before we jumped off the air, and I don't know how much made it through, but this is related to the same thing. It says, good morning, guys. Captain Tim, can you talk a little bit more about the Taniguchi method, what's involved, and also does it work on other fish like yellows and wahoo, et cetera? That's all from Tom in San Clemente.
It will work on other fish for sure. We don't practice it on it. We do practice like everything we spike, but we don't do the Taniguchi method on anything other than tuna. And in our case, we generally, tuna that are say 40 pounds and over, we do it on. Anything under that, we don't, just because it, fish cools fast enough and it's just that's how we go about it. I mean, ideally, like if I were on a private boat, hell yeah, I would do it on every one.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, why not? It's just going to improve the quality of fish. And I completely forgot about the shell fly thing. That is a big component of it. Again, so if you're on your private boat, why not? Doing it on a calico bass, I think that's probably a little extreme, but a nice-sized fish,
sure,
a nice-sized yellowtail, it's going to improve the quality of it. We were talking about the whole process from beginning to end. And number one thing is we were like, land the fish gently, try to get head gaff, land it gently. Don't bang it around because you're just bruising it, mm-hmm. Just like you getting socked in the arm, you're going to get a big bruise from it. Well, same thing. If you body slam that fish in the deck, you don't want to tenderize it that way,
And going back decades, I mean, how many times can we remember somebody gaffing a fish and over the rail and slam on the deck? And well, yeah,
that was the best part. Yeah,
right. You get cartwheel
as high in the air as you can and shake the gaff out of it. Yeah. like a triple gainer, and then boom, body slams off the deck, bounces 2 feet. Yeah,
I hear that and it makes me cringe.
Oh, you
seriously.
You know what makes me cringe? Hearing them flapping on the deck makes me cringe now.
I believe that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, get on that thing quick. So that's the second part of it. When you land it, and also, if you land the fish gently, and this is true 99.9% of the time, when you land it gently, the fish 99% of the time is just going to lay there.
Yeah.
Right? If you slam the thing down, it's going to go berserk, and we all know what that looks like. Those tuna, they start flapping around. It's just a crap show. You got to get on them right away, spike them right away. Spiking them in the right plot, in the right spot, is essential also, which I'm, talking about the spiking
Let
thing.
Let me tell you, man.
If you barely graze that thing, and they start doing the funky chicken. Oh my gosh! Especially a bigger tuna. You know, so I just run.
I was going to say, how many instances of, I mean, you guys are no stranger to big ones, and you catch them all over the world. Like, what? There has to be some good stories of like, oh well, here, let me dispatch this 250 pounder, and you don't quite get it right, and then he gets really unhappy on the deck.
Oh yeah,
clear the ways.
Some you know, the great ones where the thing is just going berserk. You know, one of my more braver, you know, brave crew members just jumps on the thing, you know,
wrestling the thing down.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, we're adept at it to the point where it almost never happens.
Sure.
You know, you get it in the right spot, you center punch that thing, and it's lights out.
You know what was really interesting, having Bob Cook from Wicked Tuna on here, and mm-hmm. when they get the jumbos, they actually they put a hook in the jaw and keep them tethered and actually drag them behind the boat to cool them down.
Yeah.
Like to take the lactic acid down to, you know, a lower level and then dispatch them.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
It just kind of goes along with that, and I thought it was a really great text from Tim. It says, hey, Tim, I know that you have your the question's for Tim. Tim, I know you have your hand in both catching the fish and processing the fish. What knife do you guys use on the boat for gill and gut? And then at Fisherman's Processing, what's a good knife for that's not too intimidating for somebody who's trying to make their own sushi at home? I know you guys are big fish eaters at the house, too. Do you have any recommendations? That's all from David in North County.
David, I'm probably going to have to defer. I'm going to look it up on the internet. The knife we use, because we use that a small, like a short curved knife for the gutting.
I believe it's called a skinning knife. Is the shape style that they talk about. And I know that there's a couple of them out there. Both, you know, Victorinox, which everybody always called the Forstners, and then Dexter makes one as well. But you know, seeing you guys on the boat, it's a shorter knife than one might think, you know, like a 5-inch blade or a 6-inch blade. Sound right?
Yeah, I've got it right here. You are correct. It's a Victorinox. The blade length is 5 inches,
mm-hmm.
and it's a skinning knife. That's the one that we use. We use those exclusively on the boat for dressing the fish. I love that knife for that. I mean, they're designed for that, as far as I'm concerned. I know Raymond at Fisherman's Processing, that's the knife that he uses to break down fish also.
Yeah, which is funny because that's not the shape you would think like a master cutter like Raymond uses. But that's it, man. That's the knife that he yields. I think he uses that Anza, like the custom version, but that's the shape.
Right, exactly. And I think, you know, for at home, the same, you know, there's a lot of different brands. I know myself at home, I have an old Forstner that I use, mm-hmm. like an 8-inch Forstner. When I cut my you know, when I'm breaking down loins, whatever, at home, I'm old school in that.
Yeah.
As far as, like, cutting, you know, actually cutting the sashimi, I broke down. Actually, one of our beloved anglers brought me just a beautiful knife for exactly that purpose.
Cool.
So I think there's, you know, there's a whole range, of course, you can choose from whatever's comfortable for you. But for the gutting thing in particular on the boat, that's the knife that I would recommend. Those ones.
The 5-inch skinning knife.
The 5-inch skinning knife, Victorinox.
We, David, we have a great friend who was at Tuna Wars, Jeff Roberto from Sushi on a Roll. You know, friend of all the fishermen, you know, participates fishing on our fleet. Every time there's been a Fisherman's Landing Christmas party, Jeff Roberto is always there and often listens to the show. So maybe we'll see if we can shoot him a text and get his recommendation on a great at-home sushi knife.
The foremost expert.
Right? Oh, like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, if there's a guy that's got the answer for you, both on what is the non-intimidating first one to get, and probably also the neither of us are ever going to afford or make that style investment, he'd be the guy to talk to.
And dude, he had a 150 pounder laying in an ice tray and literally like plates after plates after plates of sashimi going out, man. That guy's the master for sure.
Indeed.
Yeah, that's really cool. Well, hey, I appreciate that very much. While we're still waiting for the phones, got another text coming through. And this one is, Tim, I'm going on the next trip on the Royal Star. Can you give us a little rundown of what we might expect? And is there a particular jig that I need to make sure to have in my arsenal?
Oh, boy. Jig, I'm assuming we're talking about the nighttime.
I'm guessing that's what he means, yeah.
And I'm going to defer to you, Ricky, because you've got a real handle on those jigs. I mean, I've definitely seen there's some of these knife jigs, the fancy ones. They have certainly been out fishing.
Mm-hmm.
They've been out fishing, and when it's scratchy, with the, you know, again, going back to the jigging rod, I was talking about it a few weeks ago, like scratch-type fishing where we're stopping, there's a bunch of fish, and we're only getting, you know, four or five fish a stop. Those things have really been, they've been putting the boots to the guys that are just a traditional drop down, a flat fall with 150 pound. And, you know, it's, it makes a big difference. So
I enjoyed reading that so much. And again, you talked about it to both. You guys push a lot of evolution, and it made me smile, not knowing if this is the case at all, but like, you know, when you and Randy were young, you pushed the envelope into different things. And I just really smiled thinking that, like, man, is that like another generation of Royal Star? You know, Alex joined the ownership team with you. And that just like that jigging thing is like another thing. And this, we've been catching fish on jigs, but have like a dedicated rod and reel for that type of fishing. And you said it for sure made a difference in how the fishing was.
Oh my!
Is it because of how much better the jig falls? Is it the action of the rod produces the jig to swim, so it swims better on the retrieve? Is it a combination of everything? Like, what do you think it is that's, you know, having that piece of gear was aiding people in catching fish?
The lighter the main line, uh-huh. The lighter, no doubt. And the design of that jig, it sinks faster. Like, mm-hmm. there's no question about it. You don't have that, especially when it's breezy, how if you're using, you know, 130-pound Spectra, 100-pound Spectra, using a big, you know,
traditional reel rod setup.
Yeah. I mean, that thing is it just creates a lot of drag. So uh-huh. As the boat's drifting away, as the boat's moving forward, your jig is floating down there as opposed to dropping straight okay. down. So number one, they get down way faster. And I do believe, like, the action of that rod mm-hmm. And you know, combined with that up and down motion, no question about it, it elicits more bites. I'm convinced of it. I'm not going to take credit for it all. I mean, I'm going to tell you where I really, you know, I looked over there on the bow of the Pacific Queen. They tie up right next to us, and I'm looking at the array of crew rods that yeah. they have up there. Because every stop they roll into, you know, they got three or four of their guys.
Sure.
That they're bombing their jig. They hook and hand probably, I don't know, I mean, a lot.
A good yeah, portion.
A huge percentage, yeah. especially, again, when it's scratch fishing. When it's right. wide open, everybody's bombing down. They don't have time for that. But when it's scratch fishing, those guys, man, they got it down.
A couple fish on every stop, man. That's...
You talking three, four? And yeah. They have it down. And you know, our chef, one of our chefs, Dave, he worked there on Pacific Queen for a couple of years. And he goes out there and he outfishes the daylights out of most of our... You know, most of our clients, and I wouldn't want to be fishing next to the guy. Maybe I'm stupid. You know? I mean, I'm not going to say that I'm the best at that. I mean, I get some bites, but not, you know, there's certainly an element of yeah. that nighttime fishing where it's like the great equalizer. That was the impression I had in my mind.
Not so much.
Yeah. You know, what I mean, there's obviously something to it, and these methods. I mean, they've been imported from the Western Pacific.
Totally.
You know, the fishermen on the west side, they've been doing this for a long, long time.
And that's a fishery where it's perfected.
And fishing deep, too, huh?
Yeah, and the I made mention of that in the, you know, when I wrote something about it on our website. We had this group of anglers from Thailand who fished with us for a number of mm-hmm. years on those tagging trips and a couple other trips, and they had those same rods. This was back in 2011, 2012, mm-hmm. and the method was exactly the same. We were drifting the tagging trip. We were drifting a clarion on the outside daytime out there, you know, 2 miles off the island at bird schools, and these guys, you know, I mean, they're just getting them on these. And the jigs look pretty much the same.
Totally. And what trips me out, though, is I clearly effective because these guys catch them. They catch a bunch. Like you say, look at the guys in the Pacific Queen and night after night, all these big ones. The look of that rod and reel before there's a fish on it, like, man.
It's scary.
There's no way.
Yeah, it's okay, scary looking.
But it's different.
Yeah, let me tell you another thing about it, which just blows your mind. Those, I don't know what it is. I mean, for sure the nighttime fish are real erratic and you know, they don't act the same as a daytime fish, but you just wind those things right through the guides on those little jigging rods. I don't know what it is, yeah. man. I'm telling you, it's the high gear ratio. You just start turning the handle, and they just swim right at it. You know, guys like, Gaff, it's been 2 minutes. You look over the side, geez, it's a 120-pounder. a lot of times that happens. So yeah, there's definitely something to that also. It's not a coincidence.
Those guys that are very into it and very tackle technique and specific, like, it is very much a rod, reel, lure, line, like, all of those things need to work in conjunction with each other, because that is a fishery where it is definitely important to spend the extra bucks on a really good reel, because you're relying on the reel to do a lot more work than you are sometimes in other things. You know, with a rail rod and everything right, you know, the rod can do a tremendous amount of the lifting for you, and you can be managing the slack and managing the recoil and catch them that way. With those jigging reels, you're requiring the torque of the reel to do a lot of the work for you, because the rod's doing less of the fish lifting. But some of those reels are crazy in how good it is at turning the handle. And, you know, every time that thing shakes its head, you're gaining an inch and 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 another inch and 3 inches and four. And, like, next thing you know, those add up to feet, and feet add up to yards, and yards end up to the fish at the bottom of the boat.
But it's the style of that rod, right, Rick? The bend in those rods is what allows for all that head shaking and all this stuff to happen, and you not lose an inch off the reel.
That's exactly right. And those reel, like, they've got it down, man. That torque ratio on those things is just right. It's got a high gear ratio, but they got a lot of torque. And I mean,
handles are real long, and that longer handle's allowing you to get the leverage. It's different, but it's fun to watch it happening
evolve.
Right now.
It's evolving totally right now. And you think about Shimano 20 years ago had the butterfly jig.
Yeah.
Right? And the butterfly jig
is the same method again.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, totally.
I think more than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a while. But, you know, they were at the forefront. You know, they had the idea. It just didn't catch on. You know, and this fishery, and, I you know, again, I'm not, I've learned to not be, not you know, just be overly humble. You know, it's like, you got to watch what everybody else is doing. You do in fishing.
And adapt.
Because you can't, you're not going to come up with everything on your own. You know what I mean? There's an awful lot of us out there working at it, you know, and especially, you know, we talked earlier about how in your youth, you seem to be a lot more, you know, as an individual, you seem to be a lot more creative, a lot more open to new ideas, et cetera. So, you know, it wasn't our generation that figured out this nighttime jigging thing. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
It was these new guys coming up. You know, it was the guys in the PQ, the guys in the you can help me out.
Well, look at the full day trip of Matt Brawler with the drop shot rig.
Exactly,
right?
What I wanted to say.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah, so, I mean, there's all kinds of other evolving, you know, tackle techniques and the like that you got to be on your A game, man. You better be paying attention. You start, somebody else starts catching more than you, you know, more than a few times. It's like, man, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, that's cool. I love it on our end on the tackle side, because it's the same thing. And, like, it's been fun in the tackle store to watch it evolve and also see what's right for our customers. And we really embraced this thing. I think it's the thing that in a year or two, everybody will have something. And I want us to always be on the forefront of those things. But it's fun figuring out which are the right rods and which are rods that are a little bit of a hybrid between the two. Like, which is a rod that still has the lift, but let's face it, all of our guys have fought their tuna with their rod on the rail grip for the last 10 years. So which of these rods have enough back end that you could still rest the foregrip on the rail and maybe turn the handle a little bit that way versus it's not making the action of the jig move, and which are the right rods? It's just fun. Like, it's a very fun thing to watch something else evolve and be a very effective way to catch fish.
And with all that being said, add the Eddy bomb right in the middle of it.
yeah, technically as you want. And one of the best rigs we have is a sinker with hooks on it.
For sure. And that was, you know, again, it got tagged with Eddy, but there were guys fishing that
way before that.
He did the same thing. He's like, you know,
check this out.
He got wind of it, you know, great. He's got his moniker, but and that was going on for a long time.
Right, exactly.
Eddy swung one of those.
Oh, good stuff, Tim. Well, we're going to try to take our top of the hour break, and we're going to be right back on Let's Talk Hookup. More Tim Ekstrom and the Royal Star when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150, available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
Rancho Leonero was awarded the Certificate of Excellence from TripAdvisor for 4 straight years. Especially interesting, most hotels are just hotels, and most people stay in the hotel and go do their activities elsewhere. Rancho Leonero, of course, provides fishing, diving, all activities, all meals, your whole vacation. So the fact that we're so highly rated, we're very proud of it. From picking you up at the airport to dropping you off, literally everything is turnkey from there. We make it as easy as we can for you at the ranch. From your meals to whether you're going to go fishing or diving or just hanging out by the pool. When you're coming to Rancho Leonero, you are coming to John Ireland's home. I guarantee the best fishing vacation experience in all of Baja. It's unique. There's nowhere that I could think of to get the same experience that you get at Rancho Leonero. Our new reservation phone number is 800-646-2252. 646-BAJA. And RanchoLeonero.com. It's really unique. It is. We're very proud of it.
This is Captain Brandon Nelson from Lucky Bee Sport Fishing. Our dynamic fishery here on the West Coast is home to some of the most iconic game fish that swim the salty world. We demand tools designed to perform flawlessly and deliver the upper hand in any situation. That's why I use and recommend the all-new G. Loomis IMX Pro Offshore series of rods. It's a full lineup of purpose-built 20 to 80 pound class rods. I have been fortunate enough to be working with G. Loomis on the IMX Pro for some time to help develop the actions we need here on the West Coast. And they nailed it. The G. Loomis multi-taper design technology adds material where the blank is likely to fail and subtracts material where it won't. A sea guide train and Fuji reel seat complement a Batalon grip that offers extreme fatigue fighting comfort. They have been helping my passengers on Lucky Bee Sport Fishing land some amazing fish, and now they are ready for you. The new G. Loomis IMX Pro Offshore Rod Series at your local Shimano or G. Loomis dealer.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take for example the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite fiberglass composite rod, the finest ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state of the art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.